Praise be the name of the Lord. I said, praise be the name of the Lord. Wake up out there. Just thought I'd start things off with a bang. That's unusual, isn't it? Is everybody happy? You're going to heaven. Well, if you're not going to heaven, you're probably not as happy as I am. I plan on going to heaven. I'm making arrangements today to go to heaven someday. Praise God, praise God. You may be seated. The teaching tonight will be one of the last messages on holiness. I think Pastor Roy is going to take the last Wednesday of this month to preach the last message on holiness. But we've had, I thank God for our pastors who have given us a theme. And I think it forces us to have one sermon after another to renew some things that we perhaps know about and we think about, but not on a consistent enough basis. So this is has been very helpful to me personally. It's helped me focus on things that I need to focus on. We talked about the awesome holiness of God. I think Brother Glenn Rossing talked about the process of holiness. I talked about the highway of holiness, and we talked about practical holiness, the beauty of holiness. Pastor Grant preached a wonderful message on holiness and communion. And tonight, we're going to be teaching on the subject, pursuing holiness. Praise God, pursuing holiness. Now, I'm going to go through a few scriptures that God has nudged me before this, when I was putting this together. And there's certain scriptures in the Bible that speak to our hearts. Quite frankly, there's some scriptures in the Bible I wish really weren't there, because it challenges me. There's some things that we all would like to do better in, but these scriptures are important to me, so I'm just going to share some of these with you. See, a lot of these scriptures put the fear of the Lord in my heart. You know, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, so it makes sense that we don't always focus on all the positive, wonderful things of the Holy Ghost. And it's true, there are so many wonderful things that we could talk about God, but in the event that we forget to preach the whole gospel, people could be, you know, denominations all over the world are preaching no substance gospel, no commitment gospel, no holiness gospel. And we want tonight to help you, some of you. Would you pray with me before we start this message? Yeah. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that we have been called together in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm asking, Lord, that your anointing would rest upon my lips and my tongue, that the power of your Holy Spirit would permeate all through this building in the wonderful name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's important that we challenge ourselves. It's important that we examine ourselves. If we don't do that, and the only way we can examine ourselves is examine what the Word of God tells us and then conform to that Word. Amen? 1 Peter 4:17. This has been a challenging scripture for me. You know, sometimes we jump around and sing, hallelujah, I'm saved, I'm saved, I'm saved. But 1 Peter 4:17 says this, for the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin with us, what shall the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? This is the part that really troubles me. If the righteous scarcely be saved, doesn't that bother you just a little bit that your best effort, you're going to scarcely be saved? The best we can hope for is well done, my good and my faithful servant. And I'm longing to hear that, well done, my good and my faithful servant. Praise God. And then in Ezekiel 3:19, I discovered this many years ago, but it's been something that I've been able to hang on to. When you get in circumstances and you're wondering, should I say something to this person about the Lord? Should I see what they're doing and I see that it's wrong, but I'd feel so intimidated if I said anything to them. Here's what Ezekiel says. Yet if thou warn the wicked and he turn not from his wickedness nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity. But thou hast delivered thy soul. Thy soul. That's pretty powerful stuff. And again, when a righteous man turns from his righteousness and commits iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die, because thou hast not given him the warning. He shall die in his sin, and his righteousness which he has done shall not be remembered. But his blood will I require at thine hand. Woo! Exciting stuff, isn't it? Everybody said amen. Hey, it's in the book. We might as well get it out and shake the dust off and say, wait a minute. This is speaking to me. When you're in the mall and God prompts you and says, go talk to that person. You're in the supermarket and God says, you better go talk to that person. I don't know about you, but it's happened to me. I've let opportunities pass me by because I let fear into my heart. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's go to Proverbs 6:16. These six things doth the Lord hate. That's a tough scripture here. He hates them. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him, makes God want to vomit. A proud look. It's quiet in here. You ever had a proud look? Have you ever felt good and had a lot of pride raise up in your heart? God hates it. A lying tongue. A little white lie doesn't hurt. Well, this will be a short message. And hands that shed innocent blood. A heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. Feet that be swift in running to mischief. You hear about something and you're running to it to see what happened. The false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. Woo! Praise God. This is some powerful stuff. They may not stir you. They may not put the fear of the Lord in your heart, but let me tell you something. They put the fear of the Lord in my heart. I'm a coward. I do not want to stand in front of a holy God and try to give an account for my life based upon my own righteousness or anything that I personally have done for the Lord. I want my life to conform to the Word of God. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Here I am lost again. All right, Matthew 7:21. Another exciting scripture. I'm not getting a lot of hallelujahs and thank you, Lord, but it's still in the book. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Thy word, O Lord, is forever settled in heaven. It's not going to change. We have but one choice, and that is to conform to his word. His word is his will. Praise God. And when we do that, things positive things begin to happen. The things that we are all seeking, they become reality in our life. And then 2 Corinthians 7:1, another familiar passage of scripture. Talking to the church, Paul writes, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Hallelujah. The Bible says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Paul told Timothy, he said, stir yourself up. Get excited about what's going on. Be excited about holiness. Praise God. Get excited about the promises of God. Listen, if we get onto that straight and narrow road, on that highway to holiness, on the path that leads to eternal life, we will not be double-minded. We'll be singly-minded. We will have just one purpose in life, to seek God's perfect will for our life. Praise God. Does anybody want that? I mean, if we want it, then we're going to have to dig into the Word of God. We're going to have to find out what we need to do. Hebrews 12 and 14, and this has been our text for a good number of scriptures. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Praise God. In the title of my message is Pursuing Holiness. We cannot look at holiness and say, yes, this is something that we need to do. We have to actively pursue it. We have to have a scent for it. We have to have a mind for holiness. We need to be aggressively pursuing holiness. Listen, it takes a lifetime to get there. The word pursue, in Hebrews 12 and 14, the Bible says, follow peace with all men. That word literally means pursue. It means to actively pursue. And there's two things that come to my mind when I think about pursuing. First is it takes diligence. You can't pursue God on Monday and then Wednesday go to an R-rated movie. That kind of negates the fact that we're trying to be holy. We're trying to guard our eyes and all the things that we know. Our human flesh stinketh. It has no good thing in it. Once we understand this and once we believe it, then we start pursuing holiness, because that's our only alternate. Because without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. I don't know about you. That scares me. The fear of the Lord comes on me. I want to see God. What am I not willing to give up? What do I have to give up? Anything, Lord? Comb the recesses of my heart. Praise God. We never completely get there. It's a lifelong process. If anybody would have told me when I was baptized and filled with His Holy Spirit some 32, 33 years ago, what I would be giving up, I would have never, never came into this church. All I know that at the time of my conversion that I was a sinner and I was on a road and a highway to hell. Now I'm on a highway to holiness, praise God. I'm on a way of getting a relationship with Jesus Christ. But listen, when we come into this, we don't understand what's transpired. We don't understand holiness. We don't understand God's righteousness. But all you need is a hunger. Do you have a hunger to be righteous? Do you have a hunger to be holy? Or is there something pulling at your heart, telling you this is not, I don't want to be here. I don't think I don't want to live for God. Listen, there's other forces in this world that would love to keep you out of this path of holiness, that would love to get you in a place where you would not be able to even think about holiness. Praise God. But the Bible says that we are to conform to His will. Be not transformed by the renewing of our mind inside of us. And when we begin this process of pursuing after holiness, in the old search for truth chart, Brother Grant, there used to be an iceberg. And you could only see the tip of the iceberg. And you saw the sun beating down on it. And then below this huge iceberg were all of the things that are in the heart of man. Lust and greed and the fallen nature of humankind. There's like 15 or 20 little items on there. And as the heat of the day came, the iceberg would melt up. And then God's going to force you to deal with some of these issues. What is the real issue in your life that you're not willing to give up, what you're not willing to discuss, that's hidden in your heart? We all have something. We all have some issues that we don't even consider them to be sin sometimes. That's kind of scary, praise God. You know, holy is recorded in the Scripture over 600 times. So it must be important to God. The entire book of Leviticus is dedicated to the subject of holiness. Now, what I think's really hurt the church world is the idea of how to be holy is suffered through many, many sequences of false doctrine. And some teach holiness is just a list of do's and don'ts for others. Some think it's a particular style of dressing and mannerisms, uncut hair, dressing modestly, separation for the world. Now listen, I'm not against any of these things. But if that's all you think holiness is, you'll never stay in the church. You'll never have a revelation of why we are to be holy. Praise God. Hallelujah. All of these ideas have some part truth in them. But listen, I've sat behind my desk. I've seen many, many people come forth and they said, well, I don't want to join your church because I don't like your standards. Well, we didn't write the standards. We didn't go down to the and say, okay, how can we make this uncomfortable for people? We just open up the Bible. This is the way God wants it. Because I am holy, so shall ye be holy. So God has a certain standard for dressing. He has a certain standard for speech. He has a certain standard for conduct. And all of this is not designed to hurt you. It's designed to help you. It's designed to give you what you need to make heaven your home. Praise God. To be holy is to be morally blameless. It is to be separated from sin and therefore consecrated to God. Praise God. It is a life that is characterized by putting off the old man. Take the old man. He doesn't want to die. Old things are supposed to pass away. Behold, all things are become new. But if all things have not become new, then you need to recognize it. You gotta put them to death. You gotta tackle them and you gotta get an arm hold on them and say, listen, I'm not going to hell with you, old buddy. You're dead. Go back. Get behind me. We worry about Satan so much, but really it's our flesh. It's our stinking, thinking human nature that causes us to go back to Egypt in our minds. And everybody said, uh-oh. Praise God. Ephesians 4:22. Now, these are commandments. You know, we don't really have any choice in this if we want to go to heaven. It says that ye put off concerning the former conversation, that's the way of lifestyle, everything that you did, the old man which is corrupt according to deceitful lust. Lust is very deceitful because there's pleasure in certain forms of lust, but they are a quicksand trap. They are something that once you get started, it's very, very difficult to stop. Ephesians 4:23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which is after God has created in righteousness and true holiness, not a false holiness. The Pharisees had a false holiness. They thought it was all on the outward, but Jesus said, "You outwardly you worship me, you do all these things, but inwardly you're like ravening wolves. You're not doing it because it's in your heart. You're doing it for the purpose of showing off your holiness." There is one point here that, as I begin to study this, I'm thinking, why are people so adverse to even talking about holiness? You cannot go to a lot of churches and probably could go to some churches for years and never hear one message that would stir you to want to live a holy life. They can talk about everything else but holiness. They can talk about politics, they can talk about your best life now, all these things that are being preached and taught today. But listen, I'm glad that we are in a one God apostolic tongue talking church that preaches the doctrine of holiness and separation to be essential to make heaven your home. You know, if we're right and you're wrong, you lose. You can't get into heaven with sin on your life. You can't do it. Even though we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, when we have sin in our heart and we know it's wrong and we know we're doing wrong and we just ignore it, we have a problem. We have an attitude towards sin. And it's really more self-centered than God-centered. Let me explain that. Many times we're more concerned about having God deliver us from our sin than we are the disobedience that got us to the point where we are. We have to remember this one thing. Our sin is against God. It's against the holy God. His law is that which is broken. It is his authority that is broken. His government is set at naught. To put it bluntly, our sin is an assault on the majesty and sovereignty of God. That's the truth. Sometimes we pray for victory when we should be acting in obedience. God, give me victory over this, that, or the other thing. And God says, well, why don't you just be obedient to my word? Why don't you just be not conformed to this world, but why don't you be transformed by the renewing of your mind? Why don't you come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing? Why don't you stop viewing those things that are causing your flesh to explode and put desires in your heart that are horrible? Is this too tough? I'm just telling you what's in the Bible. And I see people struggle and struggle and struggle with this so-called doctrine of holiness. It's so easy once you accept the fact that you're not sinning against a standard. You're sinning against a holy God who has never sinned, and it's an abomination to him. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. If we don't do this, we'll always want to go back to Egypt. Egypt was killing us. We were slaves in Egypt. Those of us who have been delivered from Egypt, we know what it was like. I remember who I used to be. I remember the rock that I was hewn from and the pit that he dug me from. I'll never forget the bondage of sin. And listen, if you're struggling with this, don't go back to Egypt. For goodness sake, use your head. Hallelujah. That's not a hat rack. That's something that God gave each one of us. Let this mind be in you that also was in Christ Jesus. Praise God. I'm excited about living for God, a holy God. Hallelujah. We must have this one revelation, and that our sins grieve the heart of God. We have separated sin in our society. We've separated the bad sins and the ones that are really bad, and we've kind of, some denominations even talk about different levels of punishment as far as whether it's heinous or not. But listen, sin is sin. If you want to pursue after holiness, you have to understand that you are not sinning against Pastor Grant or Pastor Roy or Calvary Gospel Church. You are sinning against a holy, righteous, pure God. And no sin can enter into the kingdom of God. This will open up the door for you to stop fighting it. Stop opposing yourself. Get on the highway. Get on the straight and the narrow way. Get on the highway to holiness. And you will see your life turn around drastically. You stop struggling. You stop being double-minded. Once you make up your mind to serve God, I remember when I made up my mind. It was 30-some years ago. And I said to my wife, honey, if this is truth, and I can't find anything that it's not truth that I've been told so far, then we had better conform to it. We'd better get with the program. We'd better get with God. We need to become a part of this church, not just a member of this church. I want to be part of this church. I want to get my hands dirty. I want to get my heart clean by the blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I want God to say, well done, thy good and faithful servant, someday. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. The question that we might ask, well, let's back up just a little bit. There were four men in the Bible that did not have this revelation of sinning against the most holy God. Pharaoh, Balaam, Saul, and Judas each said this, I have sinned. They acknowledged that they had sinned. But listen to this. The returning prodigal said, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. And David said, against thee and thee only have I sinned. That's the difference between the sorrow of the world and godly sorrow. Listen what Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 7 and 9. Now I rejoice not that you were made sorry, but ye sorrowed to repentance. It doesn't do any good to be sorry for sin if it doesn't bring you to a place of repentance, turning away from your sin, turning back to God, begin pursuing Him again. Praise God. For you were made sorry after a godly manner, that you might receive damage by us in nothing. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation. Dear me, how many people are in eternity trapped today, right now, for eternity, and they were not willing to seek God for repentance? The Bible says if we confess our sins, He's faithful and He's just to forgive us of all of our sins and all our iniquities. Why would anybody choose not to repent? The pride of life, the deceitfulness of riches, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, whatever it might be. If you're not willing to do that, then you are listening to a wrong spirit. You've been attacked by some demonic forces controlling your mind, and you need to buck up and stand up and say, wait a minute. I plan on going to heaven. I'm not going to sit here and take this. I'm going to change my circumstances because I'm going to change my mind. Hallelujah, hallelujah. There's a great illustration I read about what we have to do to pursue after holiness. A farmer plows his field. He sows his seed and fertilizes and cultivates. All the while, he knows that in the final analysis, he is utterly dependent on forces outside of himself. Isn't that right, Bill? He is a farmer and knows all about it. He knows that he cannot cause the seed to germinate, nor can he produce the rain or sunshine for growing and harvesting the crop. For a successful harvest, he is dependent on these things from God. Yet the farmer knows that unless he diligently pursues his responsibilities to plow, to plant, and fertilize, and cultivate, he cannot expect a harvest. So using that principle, he's in partnership with God, and he'll only reap the benefits when he has fulfilled his responsibilities. We will only reap the benefits of a relationship with God if we understand what God has told us and commanded us to do. There's some things that the farmer has to do, and there's some things that the farmer cannot do. The Bible says one man sows, another waters, but only God can give the increase. Praise God. This is the same principle I'm trying to tell you tonight. Whatever is keeping you from pursuing after holiness, examine it. Take it out. Take a good look at it. Is there anything in your life that's taken precedent over your relationship with God? Is your prayer life strong and vital, and you can't wait to get into the prayer room? And you get excited when you hear, oh my goodness, there's going to be a prayer meeting Friday night. Oh, praise God. Come on. If you are pursuing after holiness, you can't wait until you read your Bible. You can't wait to be around godly people. You can't stand to do nothing because there's so much to do for the kingdom of God. Oh, praise. So what am I to do myself? What am I to rely on God to do? We need to be prepared to pursue holiness in every area of our life. We can be pursuing God here, and then you have a fight with our neighbor, so we stop the pursuing and we begin pursuing our neighbor, and we start getting a bad attitude towards him. And you think that's not sin? You've already broken half a dozen commandments just by thinking evil about him, by not turning the other cheek, by not allowing God to take. God will fight our battles for us. He doesn't need our help. He doesn't need your input. You don't have to be nasty and mean and angry at people all the time. If you have the peace of God that passeth all understanding, and if you're reaching out to be like Jesus Christ, that's what it's all about. We want to create a Christ-likeness in our spirit. We want to become holy and separate and pure. And listen, If we're not that way, do you think that might not be considered sin? Well, I guess not. It doesn't bother me whether you agree with me or not. And I'm serious with you. Because I've already decided. I have already decided. I'm giving myself an amen, Brother Thomas. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Many times we talk about the goodness of God, and that's okay. We talk about the grace of God and the blood of Jesus Christ. But the principle involved in obedience or disobedience, this principle was revealed in the Garden of Eden at the forbidden tree. This principle of obedience or disobedience, every single act that you do is either in obedience to God's word or is in disobedience. It's not a little sin, a little that, a little this, a little white lie. It's either you're obedient to the word of God or you're disobedient. You say, God is awful picky. No, he's not. He's trying to keep you. He's trying to get you in a point. No sin can enter into the kingdom of God. It cannot happen. Unless a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. But once you are born again, that's not a ticket into the holy presence of God. Then you need to pursue holiness. Pursue it, not just know about it, not just talk about it, but you have to have it ingrained in your heart. You know, the more you try, you'll probably fall off the horse a few times. You might get kicked a few times. There'll be times when you'll want to compromise because when you are in a business deal or you're in someone's office, you may be tempted to say or do something that you know is not pleasing to God. I know because I was in business for a good number of years. And listen, it's a struggle. Did I always win? Absolutely not. Did I always tell the truth? Absolutely not. But I was grieved. I got to tell you, I was grieved. You'll know immediately after you do something that displeases God. He gave us something that's called a conscience. Anybody have one of those? When that conscience speaks to you, that's God saying, don't do that. Don't think that. Don't fantasize that. Guard your eyes, guard your ears. You know, we can speak evil of dignitaries. We can do all kinds of things that are sin, and we don't call them sin anymore. They're not part of our sin. Those are sins. We concentrate on sins of the world. We concentrate on the same, the lifestyle business. Same-sex marriages. We're on that. We're on the murders. We're on the whoremongers. We're on the adulterers. We know all about that. But you know what we're not doing? We're not examining our own hearts. We're not determining exactly what's going on in my life that is not right with God. We must take all sins seriously. There's not big sins and little sins. If you gossip occasionally, I don't know about you, but my human nature likes gossip. It's just part of it. You have to fight against gossip. Because it's a spirit. You have to fight against these things that our flesh so readily takes down. Listen, when you begin to compromise, it's just like cancer. You know, cancer, a little leaven leavens a whole lump. A little cancer can take control of your whole body. And it hides. You don't know that you've got cancer, and it could be there for years. It could be in your bones, in your lymph nodes. All of a sudden, it jumps out and grabs you. Sin is like that. The Bible calls sin and cancer, or canker, to be part of that. So you need to understand, if you're pursuing holiness, these things that are out there, these landmines, these snares that the devil and the world have put in front of you, you're going to feel them right away. They're not even going to be a question to you. You're not going to let your anger take over you because you know it's an abomination to God. Be angry and sin not. You ever tried not to sin when you're angry? Except with your wife, of course. That's different. Praise God. See, we get into this game of there are some sins that we've deemed to be acceptable. You know, There are just some things we don't consider sinful. So we could sit around and, God forbid, we talk. You know, it's hard for pastors, trust me when I say this, because we have too much information. It's very difficult to, because we're making judgments between life and death and all these things. So you know a lot about some things, and because of that, it's so, so difficult not to pass judgment on somebody. Praise God. We can't categorize sin if we're going to pursue after holiness. Sin is sin. If you harbor resentment against someone for whatever reason, it's sin. If you fail to put trust in God in a difficult situation, it's sin. If you've spoken evil of political leaders, it's sin. What we should be doing is when we recognize our sin is against the holy God who will accept no sin, we need to fall flat on our face. We need to cry out to God, Lord Jesus, have mercy on me, for I am a sinner in the need of the grace of God. I want to stay broken. I want to stay to the point where I don't want to have hardness of heart. And that can happen to you. We have so much media coming at us 24/7, and we can become encompassed in all these horrible events that are going all over the world. There's just so many bad things happening. And we look at our life and we see, oh, we're pretty good. I mean, compared to everybody else, we have a good thing going here. But that's not what God sees. He sees all sin, good and bad. He sees everything. And none of it is acceptable to God. None of it. Not even a little white lie. Woo. Praise God. Are we willing to call sin, sin? Not because it's big or little, but because it's sin. Do you believe that you can really focus on pursuing God to the point where you'll be able to say no to sin? Sin is a habit. You can create a habit in your life if you allow yourself to do this. Many Christians have what has been called a cultural holiness. And what's happening is people then begin to adapt to the character and behavior in the pattern of the culture that's around them. Pastor Grant has preached this message several times here, and he lines a bunch of folks up here, and he talks about this is where the world is, and this is where we are, and we keep drawing closer to God. Not to God, but to the world. And then what we do is we move the line of what we consider to be right and wrong over to, so we're still encompassed in, we're still separated, but we're so far removed from what God's holiness is, we do not even see it after a while. In fact, it offends us if someone has the audacity to call us sinners or call us out when we have a bad attitude or when someone tries to correct us. We don't like it. Do you like to be corrected? I hate it. But you know what? It's needful. And I'm thanking God that we have pastors that love us enough to speak the truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Praise God. John Newton, the writer of Amazing Grace, wrote, I am a great sinner, but I have a great Savior. That is my only hope. Our only hope is our great Savior. The only hope we have is His mercy endures forever. But don't wait until you're on your deathbed. Don't wait to pursue God when you are physically unable to do the things that you know. Listen, we need to understand, we need now faith. We need to step out now. There's so many people out there that are depending upon this church. With the doctrine that we have, we're going to receive a lot of opposition. And listen, opposition's coming. If you're reading the newspaper, state after state is overturning laws that were passed by the majority of the people. And they're saying that we have to conform to these abominable laws because They're saying it's legal now. Listen, you have to have some moral fiber in you. You're going to have to buck up and say, listen, this is against the word of God. Who am I to obey, God or man? I can't believe what's happening today. Praise God, praise God. Over the years, I preached a message that on the three D's of prayer, discipline, desire, and delight. And starts off with, if you don't have a prayer life, if you begin to discipline yourself to pray every day at a certain time in a certain place, you can begin to develop a habit that will turn into desire. And when that desire, if you set some realistic goals for yourself, in no time at all, you'll be praying three or four times more than you've ever prayed, because the desire to pray more will be there. That's the way it is. When you stoke the fire, God's already there putting coals on the fire. But it takes discipline to pray. But when that desire comes, you'll enter into the delight of prayer in that equation. The delight of prayer is this: you cannot wait until you get into the presence of God. You are so delighted by the presence of God when you begin to earnestly pray that you will be thrilled. You'll be delighted to be in your prayer closet, because you can feel literally his arms wrapped around you. You can feel the presence of God so strongly because you're pursuing him with prayer. Praise God. Pursuing the holiness of God. Praise God. The delight, my goodness, get into that delight and you really have something going for yourself in the prayer life. But this same three D's works in any aspect of your relationship with God. If you want to begin to pursue after God, this is not an optional thing. You can't say, well, you know what? I don't have time to pursue after God. I think you ought to rethink that statement. I think you need to develop a spiritual habit of pursuing him every single day and begin to keep score on yourself, because if you discipline yourself to pursue the holiness of God, you will find yourself beginning to enter into the joy of the Lord. You'll begin to enter into the peace that passeth all understanding. You begin to enter into a holy relationship with God. This is what happens when we get on the highway to holiness. This is what happens when we go through the straight and the narrow gate. It's because we are putting forth the effort. God has already done his part, like the farmer and God. There is something that God will not do. He will not get you up in the morning to pray. He will not cause you to stop saying and doing the things that you do. But once you do them by pursuing God according to his word, oh my God, you'll begin to have a desire to be in the presence of God like you never have before. Praise God. And this is what we all need to be seeking. If people come in here, they need to feel the holiness of God. There's some people that just emit it. And there's other people that emit something else. But I don't know about you. I want to emit the holiness of God. I want people to know through my speech, through my actions, through the way I conduct my life and my children. I want them to know that it's not because of me. It's because of my relationship with God. Praise God. So if you would stand with me. Since we all received this commandment from God to pursue holiness, I'm grieved in my spirit about the number of people that I have personally had privy to know that they stopped pursuing God. They stopped pursuing holiness. And they never really understood what holiness is all about. They were pharisaical in their attitude and their spirit. And they thought it was all about dressing and dress codes and long hair and all that. It's about what's inside of your heart. If the inside of your cup is clean and pure, the outside will take care of itself, because you want to be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. There's the beauty of holiness. Why is holiness beautiful? Because it's the fruit of your obedience to God's word. The beauty of holiness is that it is a direct result to your obedience to God's word. When you consistently obey God's word, in spite of what you're thinking, in spite of what you're feeling, in adverse circumstances, no matter what, God will be there for you. I don't know about you, but this message challenged me. I so much love everybody in this room. This is an amazing church that we have here. And I hope nobody's discouraged. I hope someone is encouraged to pursue holiness. Don't ignore it. Don't let a little sin into your life and think it's okay, because it's not. See, the beauty of all this, if we confess our sins, the Bible says, God is faithful and just to forgive us of all of our sins and all of our iniquities. Praise God, if we pray anything according to His will. Do you want your prayers answered? Do you want your children to be protected? Do you want those things that you have out of your control? Do you want God's assistance? If you're double-minded, you can be holy on the outside and shake my hand and say, God bless. Have a good week. And inside, you're broken. You're confused. You don't know what to do and what to say. Listen, you don't have to stay that way. Listen, we can become new creatures, a species that never before existed. Hallelujah. Would you lift up your hands and begin to worship the Lord? Hallelujah. If there's anyone here tonight that has never experienced the Holy Spirit of God inside of them, I suggest that you come up here. We'd love to pray with you. Some of you are struggling with issues of life. Some of you are struggling with addictions. Some of you are struggling with decisions that you need to make. Pursue holiness first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things that you're struggling with will follow after you. Would you come?